Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Stephanie Anderson, part two. We'll watch a clip from Radiating Joy and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Stephanie Anderson. She works with Focus. And tonight she's going to be telling us about her personal friend, Michelle Dupont, servant of God, Michelle Dupont. She's going to share with us what Michelle taught her about prayer. And Stephanie's also going to tell us about her work with Focus.
And this is the second of two shows with Stephanie. And we're now going to a clip from Radiating Joy.
When I first got the news that Michelle was sick, and that it was like really far, to hear that anybody in your life is, you know, suffering in any way, you know, it breaks your heart. But to hear that somebody so good that I've felt dependent on sometimes, you know, like, I don't know how to be a missionary, but you do, Michelle. Like, I need to be able to call you, you know, or like pray for me. And to hear that she was in so much pain, and that it progressed so far.
When Marianne said what the doctor said, it was just like kind of disbelief, like, how could this can't really be true.
She was just calm and almost like, I'm thinking, did you understand how this is really, you know, I know she did, but yet it was like, you're so accepting of this diagnosis.
Stephanie, welcome back to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much, Father.
And I wanted to continue our conversation about Michelle Dupont, servant of God, and also talk about your work with Focus now, currently. But first, let's talk about a little bit about the prayer life. I think so many people, including myself, you know, always wanted to grow in our prayer life. It's a question I get a lot as a priest. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that Michelle taught you about prayer?
Well, the foundation of everything, really, for me, because that's when I first learned about prayer. So having a daily prayer life where you take time in silence to just talk to the Lord, mental prayer, she modeled that for us, and she asked that we would do that every day. So I would join the missionaries for what they called a holy hour. They would come into the chapel and pray in adoration for an hour. And the one thing that I remember about Michelle is we had this little chapel at SDSU that kind of was an odd shape. And so if you went over on the left, you really couldn't be seen. So she, every single day, she was over on the left behind this pillar, knees on the ground and her head bowed to the floor for the first half of her holy hour, just loving her Lord. And then she would come sit down and pray with scripture. She also loved Liturgy of the Hours and taught me how to, I'd never heard of it before. She taught me how to pray Liturgy of the Hours every morning with the missionaries. And a memory that I have of her mom, her mom was talking about when she would come home over Christmas break. They lived far from the church, live out in the country. And so sometimes she would pray her holy hour right there in the living room at the beginning of the day before everybody got up, or as the morning was beginning. And she would sit in this little rocking chair and have her breviary out. And her mom was like, I wish I could pray like you. And Michelle was like, you can. And it's just taking scripture and inviting the Lord to speak to you through that scripture. So she would take the breviary, pray morning prayer, but pause for Lexio, to pray Lexio with the reading, and just allow a word or a phrase to strike her and then dialogue with the Lord about that.
Yeah. And just, I remember she used a phrase that I heard, she said, there's that part of listening, which sometimes we don't get that part. I mean, we could have like these acts of the will, praising God, thanking God, asking Him for things and stuff. But also just to have that part of listening, what is the Lord? And the phrase she said that struck me, she's like, what gifts does He want to give us, right? Mm-hmm. How does He want to come into our heart, you know, and transform that? And two, she said, like, maybe like things that we're suffering with, something we're struggling with, maybe struggle with sin that causes us real suffering, right? And she said, to let God enter into that, you know, to open that up. And that was so powerful. I'd never heard it put that way. But did she talk a lot about that part, like like even her own personal struggles or, I know I heard her mention some things about not trying to control everything, when she finally would turn it over to God, like the big thirst conference she organized for Bismarck.
Yes.
But I thought she was eloquent on that too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the things that I remember talking with her about is, on a day-to-day conversation, it would be, what's going on in your heart today? Well, how would you know what's going on in your heart if you're not taking time for silence? Oh. And that conversation, what she was asking was, what is God showing in your heart? How is he loving you? What are the things that are coming up in your world? And so dialoguing about it was really helpful then to go back into prayer. So she would share with, she would ask me and she would also share. And that's something that we would do in discipleship as well. Is just to kind of hear, what are you hearing the Lord say to you? And sometimes it's as simple as like, I love you and you're beautiful, you know, in prayer. And and when you hear the Lord say that, wow, that deeply moves your heart. So I think in times of silence, I think was the biggest thing that we learned to, and we, she taught us too, to remove noise sometimes so that we can increase that. So during Lent, don't have the radio on, or we would not watch movies or things like that to just create some extra space in our minds and hearts. So when we went to prayer, it wasn't such a shock to get to a place of rest, to be able to hear the Lord speak to our hearts.
And one thing she said too, I heard on a podcast, was like, maybe those distractions, you know, you could push them away, pray, but if it keeps coming back, maybe bring that in and say, okay, why am I, bring it to Jesus and say, okay, what are you trying to tell me here?
Yes, I have this image from college that, I don't know if she taught me or the missionaries or whoever, but those distracting thoughts are kind of like bunnies.
Yeah.
And if you let those distracting thoughts in, you like recognize this cute little bunny, okay, I'm going to set it aside. And then it hops back into your thoughts and you set it aside. And if it keeps coming back, okay, Jesus, here, this is my bunny. What do you want to tell me about this bunny? I don't know why I remember that particular image, but yeah, that's exactly what she taught us.
Yeah, I like it because it's like everything can be used to advance your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and even like she was saying, the stuff we might be ashamed of, you know, to bring it to the Lord, to see what he does with it. And I like too, like her praying in the office with the other missionaries, because, you know, the breviary, you're uniting yourself with the universal prayer of the church. You know, that church teaches that this is a response to Jesus, you know, saying to, and Paul saying to pray unceasingly, right? To pray always. And so somewhere around the world, somebody's praying in the office, right? And so there's constant prayer. But I always feel like, and praying the office too, that we're connected. I might be distracted, sleepy, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm connected with all these other people praying it, right? And I'm part of that grace, right?
Yes.
And she drew a lot of grace from that, it sounds like.
She did. Yeah. And the one thing she taught me when she was first teaching me the breviary was, she's like, Stephanie, sometimes you're going to be praying these words and you're going to be like, that is me, you know, that is my heart. And then there's going to be other times where you're like, that, I have no idea, that does not relate to me at all. And she's like, that's when the church, you know, you're praying for the church because there's somebody out there who is feeling those things. And then when you're like, wow, that is my heart, the whole church is praying for you. And that's when I fell in love with Liturgy of the Hours, because of that specific comment that she shared.
Yeah. So when you're kind of in aridity, that might be being used for somebody else.
Yeah.
And how about her prayer for others? I know, I think part of the feminine genius is, I just encounter it all the time as a priest, you know, the moms and grandmothers are in church praying desperately for their families. Did she have that quality where she would take people into her heart and really pray for them?
Absolutely. She was a great intercessor. Each week for our discipleship chain, we would get together. And so there was probably like 8 or 9 of us, college students and Michelle. And we would ask for intentions from each other, and then we would pray for them. And we'd pull a mortification for the week to offer those intentions, whether it's other students on campus or our own families or each other. And then once we picked those, we would all get down on one knee before the cross and sing a hymn to Jesus, mm-hmm. which I thought was just really beautiful. And then before we left, she loved the put on the armor of Christ scripture. Mm-hmm. And so she brought that to life for us in just a fun way. We had the breastplate of righteousness was like a cutting board with duct tape. I don't know, it was like the shoe of peace or something. It was this old gold high heel, you know? And we all would take a piece of that to physically remind uh-huh. us that we are interceding and that the Lord uses those intercessions throughout the whole week. And then we'll come back together every week and share, like, how is God answering those prayers?
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about your current work with Focus. So don't go away. Well, Stephanie, you still, after being a missionary yourself, you're still with the Focus organization, and if I got your title right, the Manager of Operations for Focus Alumni. Mm-hmm. So working with the alumni of Focus. And I think that's so great that, you know, just to try to organize people. I'm always dazzled by Focus's organizational structure. They just seem to have so much getting done. And they're always like open to doing it new and differently. But I think so many people are out there just waiting for somebody to help get organized, right? Mm-hmm. And that's part of your work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the bread and butter of Focus sharing Jesus is on a very small scale. Even though there's many campuses, you'll have thousands of people here at this conference. It's the one-on-one invitation friendship that makes all the difference. And so for alumni, we've got these students who have encountered Jesus, who have said yes to discipleship and being a missionary disciple for the rest of their lives, and these missionaries who have been trained and gone to that. And now they're out in these secular jobs and in their cities, and how do I keep living this on my own? It's very difficult. When you're in community, you can run together, you can spur each other on. When you're by yourself, it's a lot more difficult. So our team, the alumni team, we are trying to build communities of mission in different cities throughout the country. So basically kind of to gather the hot coals of people who say, have already said yes to the Lord, have said, yes, I want to live mission, and make sure that they're connected so they've got teammates to run with when they're no longer in Focus. So our biggest goal and hope is that all those who've been formed within Focus would say yes to mission for the rest of their life and would say yes to sharing the gospel and living the Great Commission even until they're in the nursing home, you know, and they're talking to the 80-year-old friend next to them.
And here at the SEEK Conference, you're part of the Making Missionary Disciples track. What is that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So within the conference, often people think that the SEEK Conference is for college students, which it is. There's a ton of college students. The energy is a blast here. But we also have a growing number of people who have reached out to Focus to say, hey, we would love to have this discipleship in our parish. Could you help us learn how to do that? So we have the Making Missionary Disciples track here at SEEK for all those who are post-collegiate. So we have seminarians, we have priests, we have leaders in parishes, and we just have parishioners come. And we talk about kind of those basic principles that our missionaries learn about sharing your testimony, giving a gospel presentation, having a daily interior life, talking to the Lord. We talk about some of those basic skills so that if they don't have a missionary that they're working with and they want to be evangelizing, here's some helpful ways to do that.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something I heard Michelle say, that she was working with adult faith formators in Bismarck, and she was saying, you know, basically write out a talk, a short little page about why Christ, you know, why believe this. And I never thought of it that way. It seemed like oftentimes I'm on planes or whatever, you're meeting people, you're just trying to just kind of the pre-evangelization stage. But when it's time to close the deal, what are you going to say, right? And so that's part of the training, right?
That's part of the training. Is okay, somebody said yes, or somebody seems like they're ready to say yes. How do you invite them into that lifelong, like, yes, Lord, I want to live for you?
And I think, you know, some of these alumni are married too. Mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like to be a missionary disciple married with kids? And I think there's such a hunger just, you know, for people to to connect with that community of the family, obviously you have to be very careful, discerning and all that, but there's so much loneliness, so much alienation, that the family is a special place that the gospel's proclaimed, just the witness of living the life. And then to be have some kind of openness to others in whatever way is possible.
Absolutely.
Is that something you all talk about? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So especially the alumni team, as we've been kind of praying through, how are we going to grow this support to our alumni? We've been talking about what's the wording we're going to call it. And we've come across the word community, communities of mission, because we've been reading encyclicals of the church. And they talk about that's where you're going to be most fruitful, is when you're in community and you're in family. Especially families can feel so isolated. Life can get very busy, especially with littles in your life. That can be so demanding and a difficult season of life. And how do you keep Christ at the center of that and your call as a missionary disciple at the center of that, discipling your own children, but also outreaching to those around you and your neighbors? And so the word community has really been popping out in these different encyclicals to us. Of that, that's the words of the church, that we absolutely need to have those around us to be able to share our faith and to live our faith and to keep saying yes to it when those, especially family life, can become demanding.
Yeah, so not just for singles maybe to plug into a family, but other families, right, to plug in with other families.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Now, some of the focus formation that you think really helps with the missionary disciple teaching, what would that be? What do you think focus does well with that formation?
You know, I don't think focus made up anything. I think we continue to learn from the church, and we try to just model the method of the master. So Jesus befriended people and had authentic relationships, and so that's what we're doing. We're having, our missionaries have real relationship with others. It says in scripture to be able to at any point witness to the joy of, of the gospel. And so to know your we call it a testimony, to be able to share, how did I encounter God's love in my own life? And how do I witness that to others? And then a gospel presentation is also really helpful. And you could call it whatever you want, but what is the story of Christ, the redemptive story of Christ? So we were made for a relationship. That relationship was broken by sin. Jesus came and redeemed that. And what's my response to that? My response to that is I give you my whole heart. So some of those basic tools to be able to talk to people about Christ.
I know we've seen that a lot on Life on the Rock too, with especially like some youth programs in high school. We just interviewed Everett Fritz and talking about just forming the small groups. That's where the lasting disciples come out of that. You know, that making friends, that walking with, and I think it was him. Someone pointed out to me, like the road to Emmaus. They're leaving Jerusalem, right? And Jesus walks with them. So they're going the wrong way. They misunderstand. They're dejected. And sometimes we just kind of wave goodbye to those people, right? But he's walking with them. They have the encounter, and then they turn around and come back. So, you know, sometimes we give people freedom, right? They're going to walk where they're going to walk, but try to accompany them with that, not to shy away from that stuff.
You know, conversions are totally God's work. And they're in his timing, and he knows the details of it, and he's going to do it when he wants to, which is the beauty of, so when we're on a college campus, we've got 4 years with a student, and by God's grace, so many beautiful conversions happen within those 4 years. Once you're in a parish, sometimes it takes a lot longer. Maybe you're just beginning to walk with somebody who's in their 40s or 50s or 60s. They've got a good amount of life where they've already established other life habits. And so it might take a little bit longer for them to catch that fire. And to be able to walk with them as long as it takes for them to say yes to the Lord. And always having that vision in mind that I am befriending them and I'm with them, and God's in charge of the rest of it. I'm just saying yes, and I'm showing up as who I am, a beloved child of God, and I believe in that identity. And I'm befriending them, and when they're ready, I'm ready to give them whatever they need to be able to encounter Jesus and say yes to him.
I just want to ask you, you've been at this a while now. Had a powerful experience in college, powerful experience with the missionaries. You've known a possible future saint. Looking back on this journey, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, that makes me cry, Father. I feel like the Lord has been very generous to me that I grew up in a beautiful Catholic home, and I was so thirsty to know who God was and how to hear His voice. Mm. And He's given me endless wonderful people who have modeled that for me and taught me how to hear the Lord and hear His voice. And that's what matters, is to hear Him and to say yes to Him when He talks to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. You know, Brother John, we should say we have a first-class relic of Maximian Kolbe, as always, on SEP. We also have a first-class relic of St. John Paul II here. So we have those great intercessors, and certainly in the new evangelization stuff we're talking about on these shows, they're two powerful intercessors for us. You know, I was struck in their discussion about prayer. And it's something I saw also learning about her life and from the documentary, just this desire she had, that she wanted to grow in her prayer life. Mm-hmm. And there was, we can get kind of lackadaisical and lose that desire. Mm-hmm. And she very much wanted to grow, so she put the time in.
Yeah.
You know, spent time in the chapel and tried different methods, learned from teachers herself, and put it into practice.
She was all in.
All in. Yeah.
You know, I think what's so inspiring about her story, though, is that whenever we read about the lives of the saints, a lot of times we're reading somebody that lived a century ago or beyond, you know, in a different time, a different culture, a different land. But I think Michelle's story is so unique because she was living in America in the 21st century. She knew technology. She knew the iPhone. She knew the distractions of the world, what's, you know, good and bad out there. And so I think in so many ways, she's a model for us, you know, of that interior growth, as you were saying, that having that desire to pray, to really commune with God, you know, who loves us so much. And, you know, whenever we reflect on Michelle's story, here's a girl that's great of faith, growing in prayer life, going out wanting to be a missionary. But, you know, at the same time, she's inflicted, you know, and she's got to endure great humiliations and sufferings. But again, I think her faith was so strong because it's like, again, every picture I even saw of her, even in her bed, her sick bed, you know, she's got a great smile.
Right.
And, you know, and you're looking at somebody that completely embraced the cross.
Right. Yeah. So, and she made those little mortifications leading into it. Stephanie spoke about the mortification jar, I think it was. You have a little slip of paper, maybe it was give up coffee, give up scrolling on social media, or give up television or something, just for a day maybe, you know, and make these steps of mortification to open up some space inside of our hearts for the Lord, you know, to die to ourselves. That's an essential part of the the ascetical life, our spiritual life. So,
and you also had the opportunity to do a podcast with their parents and speak to them there at the CEE conference.
Right. If you go to Power and Witness podcast, I did a podcast with Michelle's parents. It's about a half hour, and they talked about their daughter and just gave great insight. And it was a good interview.
Yeah. So.
May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send His Holy Spirit upon you and send you into His vineyard. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
I pray you'll never let me stray. They sing. Sweet Mother Mary.